Hello, this is Auntie Bee's Knees with your business report for the week of June 9th. After 11 years of negotiation, the U.S. and Chile signed a free trade agreement on Friday. The deal was signed in Miami by U.S. Trade Representative Robert Zoellick and Chilean Foreign Minister Soledad Alvear. The pact still needs to be approved by Congress in both countries, though fast-track authority in the U.S. will mean that the American Congress won't be able to debate or amend the deal. Details of the agreement were agreed upon in February, but signing was delayed by the Bush administration as a slap on the wrist for Chile's opposition to the war against Iraq. Trade between the U.S. and Chile currently amounts to more than $6 billion per year. The new deal will cut tariffs on 85% of the goods making up this trade. Exports account for 30% or $18.3 billion worth of Chile's gross domestic product. About one-fifth of this goes to the U.S. That makes the U.S. Chile's largest export market, with copper, salmon, wine, and grapes being the biggest sellers. The Chilean government estimates that the free trade deal will increase the value of Chile's exports to the U.S. by almost $500 million each year. The pact is also expected to boost American investment in Chile, as stronger ties to the U.S. economy lower perceived risks for investors, even with the weak U.S. dollar. The agreement also gives preferential treatment to U.S. investors operating in Chile. And U.S. companies in the entertainment, pharmaceutical, biotech, software, insurance, and shipping industries stand to gain from the accord, which will boost U.S. exports to Chile while imposing strict protections for U.S. copyrights and patents. But not everyone is happy with the deal. In the U.S., opponents of the agreement include West Coast raspberry and apricot growers who fear that their market share will shrink. Labor unions also say that the deal will increase unemployment in the U.S. as corporations move jobs south. And anti-globalization activists fear that the agreement will contribute to the deepening divide between rich and poor in both countries. Chile has already signed free trade agreements with Canada, Mexico, South Korea, and the European Union, deals which have all been made in the last decade. The U.S. agreement makes Chile the first country in South America to sign a preferential trade deal with the U.S. The deal is viewed as a significant step towards a broader Bush administration goal of cracking open markets across the Western Hemisphere while securing the interests of its corporate leaders at home. The U.S. currently has free trade agreements with Mexico and Canada under the North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA, and is working towards an agreement with Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Nicaragua, and Honduras. The Bush administration is hoping to sign a deal for the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA, by 2005. This pact would bring together all of the countries in North and South America except Cuba in one hemispheric free trade zone. U.S. officials view their recent agreement with Chile as a model for this broader deal, and governments across the hemisphere will be watching Chile closely over the next few years to measure how its hyper-neoliberal strategy works out. You can view all the thrilling details of this groundbreaking document at www.sice.oas.org. Interestingly enough, just days after the signing of this accord, U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell drops in on Chile to take part in a meeting of the Organization of American States in Santiago this week. Powell must heal the diplomatic rifts caused by the U.S. war against Iraq, opposed by many Latin American governments reflecting upon U.S. military invention in the region. It must not comfort them to hear Powell tell reporters, quote, "After all the time and attention that we spent on Iraq, the Middle East, and elsewhere, we're looking forward to once again turning our diplomatic attention to our own hemisphere," end quote. Powell is also expected to promote the FTAA agenda at Santiago, but the response he will receive could be lukewarm at best. U.S. Trade Representative Robert Zoellick has been spearheading the efforts to negotiate for the FTAA with other Latin American countries. 2 weeks ago, Zoellick made a two-day visit to Brazil, during which he heaped praise on the economic policies of President Lula da Silva's new left-wing government. But Zoellick's blandishments failed to win support for his free trade agenda. Zoellick was unable to meet with Lula, and Brazilian officials announced after their meetings with Zoellick that Brazil has other economic priorities and does not view the 2005 FTAA deadline as binding. Brazil is working to form a joint negotiating bloc with other South American nations that can negotiate U.S. free trade proposals as a bloc. To do so, it must first strengthen the Mercosur trading region that includes Argentina, Paraguay, and Uruguay, and names Chile and Bolivia as associate members. Brazil also wants to open trade with the Andean Community of Nations, or CAN, a region that includes Bolivia, Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, and Venezuela. In pursuit of these goals, Da Silva is employing the Bolivarian rhetoric of creating a united Latin America that can stand up against U.S. imperialism. A growing list of countries, including Argentina, Venezuela, and Ecuador, are supporting this venture. Nonetheless, the conceived South American Union is also portrayed as part of the process of trade liberalization, rather than an alternative to it. The move is a necessary bargaining tactic for negotiations with the U.S., which is the world's largest economy and accounts for more than three-quarters of the gross domestic product of the entire proposed free trade area of the Americas. Countries to the south will need to bargain very strategically to maintain control over their agricultural sectors and biodiversity, both of which are being eyed hungrily by U.S. and European agribusiness and pharmaceutical companies. One key issue is agriculture. Currently, U.S. FTAA proposals do not offer an end to the agricultural subsidies granted to U.S. farmers by the government. Zolik has said that the U.S. is willing to discuss its agricultural subsidies only at the World Trade Organization, or WTO. And even at the WTO, the U.S. has been notoriously hard to budge on the issue of agricultural reform. Many analysts believe that there is no chance that the U.S. will lower its subsidies unless the European Union and Japan do the same, a prospect that remains dim. Meanwhile, the U.S. has been accused of dumping unwanted genetically modified foods on poorer countries. Since Brazil's chief exports are agricultural, and the country has a de facto ban on the marketing of genetically modified foods, there's a general perception that Zolik is trying to sell snake oil. Not to mention the fact that the U.S. trade representative was once a consultant for Enron. Maybe Powell will have better luck. Also at stake are the Andean and Amazonian region's incomparable biodiversity, already ravaged by decades of multinational exploitation and cash crop farming. Through the establishment of a free trade area of the Americas, the U.S. government and American multinational corporations could hope to obtain unlimited access to Latin America's biological wealth. With the advance of genetic engineering and biotechnology, control over biodiversity is becoming increasingly important to the competitive edge of agribusiness and pharmaceutical companies. Under U.S. patent law, once a biological resource with commercial potential has been identified, a patent can be filed for it, turning what was once part of nature into the private property of a corporation. It sounds crazy, but it's true. All you need is to come up with a novel use for the plant or animal parts you're using. Patents are being filed for everything from varieties of corn, rice, and trees to proteins, gene sequences, and animal stem cells. The Chile-U.S. Free Trade Agreement specifies that Chile must provide patent protection for plants within 4 years. This goes beyond the WTO's Intellectual Property Rights Agreement, known as TRIPS, which already confers a legally binding character to patents, meaning that WTO member countries must uphold all patents approved by other WTO member countries or face economic sanctions. This Made in America approach to patenting life and promoting agribusiness rather than agriculture will be on full display when Sacramento, California hosts a combination ministerial conference and advertising expo for agricultural science and technology in 2 weeks' time. Activists are mobilizing to disrupt these meetings. For more information, visit www.sacmobilization.org. That's www.sacmobilization.org. And that's a wrap for this week's Auntie Bee's Knees Report. Signing off, this is Auntie Bee's Knees, reminding you to put your money where your mouth is and invest ethically.